Now, there's times in life when you look at all the problems that seem to come up day to day. I was just listening to a news report about COVID. Because of COVID, there people are actually breaking their teeth because they're grinding them in their sleep because they're so stressed about various things. But even normal day to day life, little things happen, different things happen, and sometimes I feel like just stopping and sighing, oh, wouldn't it be nice to be a little kid again? You know, no worries, no concerns, just live life and have fun and somebody else take care of the problems. And take a look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And in verse 3, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." You know, there's a time when, as children, we're innocent of things like sin and unacquainted with it, and not knowing all the problems that exist in the world. And in the reading that we had that was done for us, Paul in Colossians 3 speaks of the change that Christians should experience when they commit their lives to Christ. Jesus said we have to become like children. And Paul, I think, expands on that to say this is the things that we need to change. If you go back to Colossians chapter 3 just for a little bit. Just as a reminder, I didn't put it down on the list, but Colossians 3 and verse 1. Paul says, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ," that phrase "raised up" is a reference to baptism. If you have become a Christian, if you become a child of God, as Paul points out in Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6 and starting with verse 3, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who died is freed from sin." Too often we think about all the effort to change that comes before baptism. A lot of people that we talk to about being Christians, there's sins in their lives, there's things that need to be changed, there's effort to be put in place, but there's change also that comes after you're baptized. And I wanted you to notice that, because Paul in Colossians starts out saying, if you have been raised with Christ, referring to when you become a Christian and being baptized, then he starts talking about all the changes that need to take place. Interestingly, Paul actually refers to it as a renewal in Colossians. We're returning to a state that we once had. If you take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 29, "Behold, I found only this, that God made men upright, but they sought out many devices." We start out righteous. We lose it. Somewhere along the line, we start sinning. The world and its sins then pulls us away from God. In Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59, and starting with verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Now, this puts a hole in the idea that we're born sinful. This is not what the Bible's teaching. We start out righteous. We leave because of our sins. God's calling us to renew ourselves, go back to what we had. Christ is putting us back in a right relationship with God. In fact, take a look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. It's a universal problem. It's a widespread problem. We all fall victim of sin. And so we all need to be renewed. This theme that we've had this month is about being renewed. And we talked about it the first week. You can't be renewed if you're carrying along the sins of your past. We're trying to change. You can't change by holding on to what you've had. That's been wrong in the first place. In Colossians 3 again, and look at verse 5. Colossians 3 and verse 5. Therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil, desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Being a Christian doesn't stop the temptations. That surprises a lot of people. They think, I'm going to change, I'm going to commit myself to Christ, and all those problems are going to go away. Well, no. But we got to consider ourselves dead to those desires. We got to consider ourselves dead to sin. It ought not to be appealing. In other words, it doesn't matter how much I want to sin. But when I decided to follow Christ, then the decision was made to leave the sins behind in the watery grave. Going back to Romans 6, this time we're going to start with verse 8. Romans 6 and verse 8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you may obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. It's the sin that got us into the mess that our lives are in. Holding on to sin, all it's going to do is hold on to the anger that God has against those who sin. Again, going back to Colossians 3, look at verse 6. Colossians chapter 3, verse 6. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you were once walked when you were living in them. And so we need to lay aside our sins. We can't keep carrying them. We got to let go. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21 says, "If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, in that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit." You lay those things aside. But that's only part of the problem. I've run across so many people that work and they try to conquer sin and they can't figure out why it keeps coming back. Because they're only doing half the problem. Renewal also implies that we need to learn what we need to become. You know, there's always that, I don't know if it's a joke or what, but you know, somebody offers you change. We're going to change. Well, change to what? I can see you changing to something worse, or are we changing to something better? If all we talk about is change, we don't know where we're going. And so we need some way to know what we need to become. And again, if you look at Ephesians 4, look again at verse 21. "If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus." How do we change? We need to listen to what Jesus says. It tells us what we need to become. In verse 23 of that passage, and he says, "And that you may be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Over in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And in verse 2 it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." If I'm going to change my behavior, I got to first start changing the way I think. I need to change my attitude towards sin. I need to start thinking about the things that are right. And that's what the Word of God teaches us. It helps to focus our minds on what we ought to be. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, and in verse 22, it says, "Since you have in obedience to the truth," there's that idea again, learning from God, "in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which was preached to you." It is God's word that convinces us to become Christians. It is God's word that tells us how to be Christians. And of course, the Holy Spirit is behind the writing of the Bible. He is the one who provided the roadmap by inspiring the apostles who wrote down the Spirit's words. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death." So that gives us a guide to saying where we're going, but we really also need a target. How do I know when I get there? What am I aiming for? Well, take a look at Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24 and in verse 21. My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those who are given to change. For the calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin that will come from both of them. I find this passage fascinating. Don't follow people who are given to change. Just because it's different doesn't make it better. We need to have a target. We need to know what we need to change into. So the Bible teaches us how to go along there. But what are we aiming for? Go back to Colossians 3, part of our memory verse. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read verse 10. And have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Therein is what I'm trying to aim for. I need to become like God. I need to become like my Father. Also in Ephesians 4, look at verse 24. And put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. We are children of God. Now, sometimes, you know, little kids, we look at our parents and we say, I want to be, grow up like them. I want to be able to do things like my dad or like my mom. It's a target. It's an aim. God wants us as his children to aim to become like him. In 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust which was yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges each one of us according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during your time on the stay on this earth. God is our Father. Conduct ourselves like God conducts himself. Holiness, righteousness, following after the truth in everything we do. And when we do that, then we become transformed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as the Lord the Spirit. We see the image that we want to become. And by following after, we transform ourselves to be more and more like Christ. And when each of us change to become like God, and we have to understand God is one. It's mentioned that all the way through the scriptures. Then the result is that we become one as well. And so there's no longer a distinction. We're all trying to be like our Father. And so in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And in verse 12. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. That really was what Jesus' prayer was for his disciples. Before he left this earth, in John 17, Jesus prayed And that prayer includes each one of us. John 17 and in verse 20. He says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, talking about his disciples that were with him, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, and they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them, and even as you have loved me. We need to think about whether we're really renewing ourselves. Now, the world around us has been through a long winter. It was kind of hard towards the end there. But it's being renewed. It's coming back. We've been through a winter of sin. But can we renew ourselves to become back to being children? Children who follow after their Father, the one who is in heaven. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there is no better time to start following after Christ and start to change than right now. And for those of you who are children of God, would like to pray as your brother on behalf, we offer that opportunity as well. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song, those selected.